The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
We first meet Charlotte as an innocent 17-year-old as she attempts to navigate the complexities of life as a teenage girl growing up in a small town in rural Ireland. The reader then follows alongside her throughout her journey into womanhood, with each of her sexual relationships and encounters portrayed in some detail. This is from a book, a debut called Bodies by Christine Ann Foley. And she is with me now. Christine, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well. Now, I read this in one sitting, I have to tell you that.
Amazing.
It's a dazzling debut. That's all I can say about it. It's terrific. But I have a difficulty. This is a bit of a mystery as well as it's not quite a thriller, but it's a narrative and there are twists and turns in it.
Yes.
And I dare not reveal them.
Let's not. If we can, we'll have to navigate around them, I guess.
Yeah. Now tell me the creation of Charlotte. I mean, she does seem like a typical teenager in her late teens in a small town in Ireland. It's not a very, shall we say, salubrious kind of sexual scene, is it?
No, it's definitely not. I think, I grew up in rural Ireland. And I suppose, I was actually speaking to someone about this recently. We were talking about kind of the difference between growing up in Dublin and growing up in rural Ireland, and if there is a difference. And obviously, I can't really compare. But I do think the kind of the sexual awakening in rural Ireland is a little bit
early.
Yes. And it's kind of hidden still, because I don't know. You kind of think about maybe gardens, fields, pitch and putts.
Up against the wall, back of the car.
Back of the pub.
Yeah.
I think definitely there was a bit of that. I really wanted to kind of focus on that and kind of my experience growing up. But as I started to create the character, it definitely became a very fictional character, and kind of the experience was not just my experience, but the experience of kind of all the women that I knew.
Yeah, well, having read the book, I was hoping maybe that it wasn't your personal story.
Yes, definitely not.
Because there are certain elements to this.
Yes.
The different men that come into this narrative, these are kind of modelled on people, other women that you talk to who have had these various experiences.
Yeah, I think the men, each man probably has about six different men in him, if that makes sense. So I kind of wanted to just grasp the different experiences that women have with men. So each man kind of represents a different stage of life and then a different traumatic experience that women I know and my own experiences have had. So not one particular man is based on any man, but on multiple men.
There is a kind of an overriding theme about the men, and I'll come to you in a moment because you use this device, you. And that is that they're predatory.
Yeah, absolutely. And that was something that I definitely wanted to kind of to discuss, to talk about, to open a conversation about. So I think, there's kind of two sides to it. So they are predatory, and Charlotte almost allows that a little bit. And that's kind of the question that I wanted to create. Like, are they predators or is she allowing it? And, you know, are we victim blaming then or, you know?
Yeah. But also Charlotte is someone who enjoys the sexual encounters. Now, there is a wrinkle in that particular statement I made, that she enjoys them, because it's not that simple. But the idea that, the men, the predatory men, are having sexual gratification and there's nothing in it for the female, she is not saying that about herself.
Absolutely. I love that you noticed that, actually, because that was really important to me, that, yes, we're discussing in this book, like, the situation that women find themselves in today, where men are, you know, gaslighting, manipulating, doing all these things. But also women are allowed to enjoy these sexual experiences also. So women aren't, you know, we're not these kind of victims of this, of sex. We actually enjoy it as well. But it comes, unfortunately, for a lot of women at a cost.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I was trying to do.
It's for anyone reading this book who lives in the capital, particularly because it gravitates from rural Ireland to the capital. I mean, it's a familiar landscape.
Yes.
I mean, going in and having a glass of wine in Pygmalion, for example. There's a particular scene in the book occurs in Pygmalion. So it'll be very, very familiar. But I think that maybe people, if they read this book as a piece, as a profile of the dating and mating game in Ireland, it might be a bit depressing.
Yeah, possibly. I did. I hope that Dublin comes across quite well in it because I adore Dublin.
Yeah.
Bear in mind also that it is set maybe a couple of years ago, so things have changed. But I do feel unfortunately not. And I do, and maybe this is just a personal thing. Well, it's not, because I know loads of people agree with me, but the dating scene has changed. And like, I talked to my parents about the dating scene when they were younger, and even my sister who's married, with online dating now, everything has changed. So it opened up a world where it seemed really positive. We can connect with people all over the world. We can connect with people we would never have met. But what it's actually done, it's created this instant gratification. And men and women, we just see people as these little pictures on an app. And I think actually it's created...
I mean, it's online shopping.
Yes, literally.
Online shopping for sex.
Yeah,
basically.
Yeah. And it has created that kind of... We don't see people as people anymore. We see them as a kind of, a photo, an icon. And like that, the refund policy is not as good as online shopping, unfortunately.
Now, the device I mentioned, you go through the men and you name them at the chapter headings.
Yep.
But then there's you, and you appears again and again. And it's Charlotte, I presume, addressing... This you. Who's you?
So you is the guy that she thinks is going to kind of save the day.
You is love.
Yes. Yes.
Real love, not kind of the beginnings of every relationship, which masquerades perhaps as love.
Yeah. And it's, yes, absolutely. And it's the love that she experiences after all of these traumatic events, when she's maybe not drinking so much, when she's taken herself out of those situations with, you know, men that she shouldn't be with, or men that are, you know, with other women and that kind of thing. So this is real love, and this is everything that she's wanted, but perhaps maybe she's put too much emphasis on that.
Now we talk about, you know, the Tinder generation and the online shopping for a mate or for sex or whatever it might be. But it wasn't as pristine anyway in rural Ireland. It wasn't like I'm a one-gal guy kind of thing.
Yes.
When you were growing up and when Charlotte in the book is growing up.
I think that is interesting as well. So it moves into the kind of online dating thing at the end. But yeah, if you go back to when she's 17, there is no online dating, and there's a small pub with maybe 50 people in it, and there's still guys with three girls out the back. Yeah. So... yeah, maybe things haven't changed that much, actually. We just now have a different way of cheating, and maybe an easier way of doing that as well.
Now, how easy was it to get Bodies published?
Bodies was very quick, and it happened seamlessly, and I was incredibly lucky. But I did write two other books before this that didn't get published. So
in the drawer?
In the drawer, under the bed, being burnt. Yeah, so it sounds like, you know, an overnight success or whatever with this one, but it wasn't. I've been writing for a long time. Mm.
But you keep the manuscripts, don't burn them, because nothing is ever redundant. You may
this is
draw
true.
Certain
yeah.
things from them. So tell me about your journey to becoming an author.
So I've been, you know, the old tale as old as time. I've been writing for a long time. I was very interested in school. I did a degree in English, and I had a wonderful tutor, Deirdre Madden, obviously brilliantly acclaimed author. And she suggested I could do a master's in creative writing, which wasn't even something that I was on my radar.
What was on your radar at the time? Teaching?
But possibly. My mom was a teacher. So yeah, that was there. I, to be honest, I just wanted to go to college, and I wanted to stay studying forever. So the master's thing was great.
Yeah. Did you go to Trinity as an undergraduate?
Yes.
And did your master's there?
No, I did my master's in Oxford.
Oh, in Oxford.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I went to Oxford straight after university, which Deirdre Madden actually told me to take some time out and work in a bar and get some life experience. But I went straight to Oxford, and I did two years over there of a master's, and that was brilliant. And then I worked, I did a bit of study with Curtis Brown in London. So they have a creative writing school, and I was just constantly, you know, sending work out to agents and getting lots of rejections, and then getting a lot of interest, and then that falling at the final hurdle. And then I went on, it was writing.ie run a thing called Date with an Agent. And it's like a speed dating for people who've written books. And I got actually accepted on my old novel and Bodies, which wasn't called Bodies at the time. And after the chat with the agent, I kind of came to the conclusion that the old novel just needed, she was like, I actually prefer, she really loved the old novel. Bodies wasn't her cup of tea. But she said, like, you need to just let it go. Just work on the new one. Just let that one go. Worked on the new one, and I sent it out to my now agent, Sarah O'Keefe. And she rang me that night. We had a Zoom call and she took it. We did a lot of editing together. We sent it out and my now editor read it overnight and I was signed within maybe a week.
And here we are.
Yeah.
you haven't given up the day job entirely?
Not yet, no.
But that's your intention, if possible?
Yes, if possible. I do enjoy my day job, so... And, you know, I get a little discount where I am, so we'll see.
You're in the beauty business.
Yes, fashion beauty, let's say. Yeah.
Okay. So you, in the acknowledgements at the end, you talk about the people who influenced you, including Deirdre Madden, but you have great praise for your parents, for your dad for driving you around the place, and your mother for being an uncritical critic.
Yes, absolutely. So my dad is brilliant and is, like we were discussing, probably the reason I don't drive, because he'll just take me anywhere and do anything for me at any time. And then my mom keeps me grounded, I think. And also, I will never accept that she is always right. And I will constantly do the opposite of what she tells me and then afterwards realise she's right. But I think some of it probably is going in. So,
but you'll never concede that she's always
no,
right.
Well, I can't.
All right. Well, I, as I say, I read it in one sitting.
Thank you.
I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of F's and so on.
There are.
Throughout. So not necessarily for the totally faint-hearted.
Absolutely
but
not.
But I really enjoyed it and I would recommend it. It's a terrific read. Bodies, You Are Everything I Ever Wanted is the subtitle on the cover. It's written by Christine Ann Foley. It's available pretty much everywhere. And Christine, thank you very much for
thank
joining
you so
us
much, Pat.
In the studio.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.